Germany protested sharply to the Czechoslovakian government regarding alleged frontier violations. This morning in Canton, China, Japanese bombers killed 600 and injured nearly 1,000 men, women, and children.
This afternoon, the British steamer Great End was bombed and sunk in Valencia Harbor.
Tonight, as millions of Americans prepare to celebrate Memorial Day, a day consecrated to the memory of our fallen heroes, the Columbia Workshop presents Bury the Dead.
Hey, Sergeant, they stink. Let's bury them in a hurry.
What do you think you smell like, Cap? You've been lying out dead in the hot sun for 2 days. The Lily of the Valley? Keep digging.
Say, this is deep enough. What are we supposed to do, dig right down to hell and deliver him over firsthand?
A man's entitled to 6 feet of dirt over his face. We got to show respect for the dead. Keep digging.
They stink. Bury them.
That's a fine way to talk in the presence of death.
Ah, come on, let's put them away. What's the difference? They'll just be turned up anyway the next time the artillery wakes up.
All right. You're in such a hurry, put them in. Put them in neat there.
File them away alphabetically, boys. You may want to refer to them later.
Yeah, this one's just a kid.
Bury him, he stinks.
Come on, let's pile the dirt in on him.
Okay, boys, shovel it in.
Hey, wait a minute. I heard a groan.
Shut up, soldier.
Stop it, I heard a groan.
What about it? Can you have a war without groans? Keep quiet.
Coming from down there in the grave. Hold it, somebody down there groaned.
Oh, my God.
He's alive.
Why the hell don't they get these things straight? Pull him out!
There. It came from there.
Another one.
I heard it.
Another one standing up in his grave.
All of them. All six of them standing up. Standing up in their grave. What do you want?
Don't bury it.
Hey, let's get out of here. Stay where you are. Now shut the place, man, or move.
Don't bury it. We don't want to be buried.
Carry on, man. Carry on, I said. Captain! Captain! Where the hell is the captain?
Don't go away.
Stay with us.
We want to hear the sound of men talking.
Don't be afraid of us.
We're not really different from you. We're dead.
That's all.
That's all?
Are you afraid of six dead men? You who've lived with the dead? There's so many dead. And eating your bread by their side when there was no time to bury them, and you were hungry.
Are we different from you? An ounce of soul lead in our hearts, and none in yours. A small difference between us.
Tomorrow or the next day, the lead will be yours, too. Talk as our equal.
That's the kid.
Say something to us. Forget the grave as we would forget it.
I'm not drunk, Captain. No, not crazy either. They just got up all together and looked at us. Look. Look for yourself, Captain. You see?
I see. I was expecting it to happen someday. So many men each day. It's too bad it had to happen in my company. Gentlemen, at ease. I'm only telling the generals what I saw.
You're not making this up, Captain?
No, General.
Have you any proof, Captain?
The four men in the burial detail and the sergeant, sir.
In time of war, Captain, men see strange things. Ghosts, for instance.
They weren't ghosts. They were men killed 2 days, standing in their graves and looking at me.
Captain, you're becoming dry.
I'm sorry, sir. It was a trying sight. I saw them. What are the generals going to do about it?
Don't stand there croaking. What are the generals going to do about it? Have them examined by a doctor. If they're alive, send them to a hospital. If they're dead, bury them. It's very simple.
Doctor?
Yes, sir.
In your report here, you say that each of these six men is dead.
Yes, sir.
Then I don't see what all this fuss is about, Captain. They're dead. Bury them.
I'm afraid, sir, that that can't be done. They're standing in their graves. They refuse to be buried.
Do we have to go into that again? We have the doctor's report. They're dead, aren't they, Doctor?
Yes, sir.
Then they aren't standing in their graves refusing to be buried, are they?
Yes, sir.
Doctor, would you know a dead man if you saw one?
The symptoms are easily recognized, sir.
We have witness certificates from a registered surgeon that these men are dead. Bury them. And waste no more time on it. You hear me, Captain?
Yes, sir. I'm afraid, sir, that I must refuse to bury these men.
That's insubordination, sir.
I'm sorry, sir. It's not within the line of my military duties to bury men against their will. If the general will only think for a moment, he'll see that this is impossible.
The captain's right. It might get back to Congress. God only knows what they'd make of it.
What are we going to do then?
Captain, what do you suggest?
Stop the war.
Captain!
Up, Bart. That's the story, Chief. Straight as a rifle barrel, to help me.
Listen, I've been running the newspaper longer than you've been shaving, and I never heard anything like it before.
Something new. Something's happening. Somebody's waking up.
It didn't happen.
Listen, I got it straight. Those guys just stood up in the grave and said, you can't bury us. To help me, it's true.
Get me McCready at the War Department. It's an awfully funny story.
It's the story of the year, the story of the century, the biggest story of all time. Men getting up with bullets in their hearts and refusing to be buried.
Who do they think they are? Hello, McCready. This is Henson of the New York... Yeah. Listen, McCready, I got this story about the six guys who refused to be... Yeah. Okay, McCready, if that's the way the government feels about it...
Well, what does he say?
No.
Holy... But people got a right to know.
In time of war, people have a right to know nothing.
Gentlemen, I have been asked by the generals to talk to you. To talk to you not as your former captain, but as a friend. To talk to you man to man. My work is not this soldiering. I'm a philosopher, I'm a scientist. My uniform is a pair of eyeglasses, my usual weapons, test tubes, and books. At a time like this, perhaps we need philosophy, need science. First, I must say that your general has ordered you to lie down.
We used to have a general.
No more. They sold us.
What do you mean, sold you?
Sold us for 25 yards of bloody mud.
A life for 4 yards of bloody mud.
We had to take that hill. General's orders. Your soldiers, you understand?
We understand now. The real estate operations of generals are always carried on at boom prices.
A life for 4 yards of bloody mud. Gold is cheaper. And rare jewels, pearls, and rubies.
I fell in the first yard. I caught on the wire. Hung there while the machine gun stitched me through the middle.
I was there at the end and thought I had life in my hands for another day. But a shell came, and my life dripped into the mud.
Ask the general how he'd like to be dead at 20. 20, General! 20!
Other men are dead.
Too many.
Men must die for their country's sake. If not you, then others. This has always been... Men died for Pharaoh and Caesar and Rome 2,000 years ago and more, and went into the earth with their wounds. Why not you?
Men. Even the men who died for Pharaoh and Caesar and Rome must in the end, before all hope is gone, discover that a man can die happy and be contentedly buried only when he dies for himself or for a cause that is his own and not Pharaoh's or Caesar's or Rome's.
I see, General.
Got any suggestions, Captain?
Only one thing left to do now, General. Get their women.
What good will their women do?
The women will fight the General's battle for them in the best possible way, through their emotions. It's the General's best bet.
Women, of course. Gad, you've got it there, Captain. Get out their women. Get them in a hurry. We'll have those boys underground in a jiffy. Women, by Gad, I never thought of it. Send out the call for women. You are all Gold Star mothers, wives, and sweethearts. You want to win this war. I know it. Now here's your chance to do your part. A glorious part. You're fighting for your homes, your children, your sisters' lives, your country's honor. You are fighting for religion, for love, for all decent human life. Wars can be fought and won only when the dead are buried and forgotten. How can we forget the dead who refuse to be buried? We must forget them. There's no room in this world for dead men. They will lead only to the bitterest unhappiness for you, for them, for everybody. Go, ladies. Do your duty. Your country waits upon you.
Did it hurt much, John?
How's the kid, Beth?
Oh, he's fine. He talks now. He weighs 28 pounds. He'll be a big boy. Did it hurt much, John?
How's the farm? Is it going all right, Beth?
It's going. The rye was heavy this year. Did it hurt much, John?
What color he has?
Blonde. Like you. What are you going to do, John?
I would like to see the kid and the farm.
They say you're dead, John.
I'm dead, all right.
Then how is it?
I don't know. Maybe there's too many of us under the ground now. Maybe the earth can't stand it no more. You gotta change crops sometime. What are you doing here, Beth?
They asked me to get you to let yourself be buried.
What do you think?
You're dead, John.
Well?
What's the good?
I don't know. Only there's something in me, dead or no dead, that won't let me be buried.
You were a queer man, John. I never did understand what you were about. But what's the good?
Beth, I never talked so that I could get you to understand what I wanted while I... Well, before. Maybe now. There's a couple of things, Beth, that I ain't had enough of. Easy things. Things like the fuzz of green over a field in spring where you planted wheat and it started to come out overnight. Things like taking a cold drink of water out of the well after you boiled in the sun all afternoon and feeling the water go down and down into you, cooling you off all through from the inside out. Things like seeing a blonde kid all busy and serious playing with a dog on the shady side of a house. There ain't nothing like that down here in the grave, Beth.
Everything has its place, John. Dead men have theirs.
My place is on the earth, Beth. My business is with the top of the earth, not the underside. There was a trap that yanked me down. I'm not smart, Beth, and I'm easy trapped. But I can tell now. I got some stories to tell farmers before I'm through. I'm going to tell them.
We could bury you home, John, near the creek. It's cool there and quiet. And there's always a breeze in the trees.
Later, Beth, when I have my fill of looking, smelling, and talking. A man should be able to walk into his grave, not be dragged into it.
How I feel. And the kid. With you walking around like that.
I won't bother you. I won't even come near you.
Well, even so, just knowing...
I can't help it. This is something bigger than you, bigger than me. It's something I ain't had nothing to do with starting. Out of the earth like a weed, a flower. Pray for it.
You were a good husband, John. For the kid and me. Won't you let me bury you?
Go home, Beth. Go home.
Let me see your
face, son.
You don't want to see it, Mom.
My baby face. One. Before you.
You don't want to see it, Mom. I know. Didn't they tell you what happened to me?
I asked the doctor. He said a piece of shell hit the side of your head, but even so...
Don't ask to see it, Mom.
Baby, listen to me. I'm your mother. Let them bury you. There's something peaceful and done about a grave.
I was only 20, Mom. I hadn't done anything. I hadn't seen anything. I never even had a girl. I spent 20 years practicing to be a man. And then they killed me. Oh, being a kid's no good, Mom. You try to get over it as soon as you can. You don't really live while you're a kid. You mark time, waiting. I waited, Mom. But then I got cheated. They made a speech and played a trumpet, dressed me in a uniform, and then they killed me!
Oh, baby. Baby, there's no peace this way. Please, let them bury you.
No, Mom.
Then, once, now, so as I can remember, let me see your face, my baby's face.
Mom, the shell hit close to me. You don't want to look at a man when a shell hits close to him.
Let me see your face, Jimmy.
All right, Mom. Look.
I'm Catherine Driscoll. I'm looking for my brother. He's dead. Are you my brother?
No.
I'm looking for my brother. My name is Catherine Driscoll.
No.
I'm looking for my brother. My name is Catherine Driscoll. His name
is... I'm Tom Driscoll.
Oh. Hello. I don't know you. After 15 years and...
What do you want, Catherine?
You don't know me either, do you?
No.
It's funny, my coming here to talk to a dead man, to try to get him to do something because once long ago he was my brother. They talked me into it. I don't know how to begin.
You'll be wasting your words, Catherine.
They should have asked someone nearer to you. Someone who loved you. Only they couldn't find anybody. I was the nearest, they said.
That's so. You were the nearest.
And I, 15 years away. Poor Tom. It couldn't have been a sweet life you led those 15 years.
It wasn't.
You were poor, too.
Sometimes I begged for meals. I wasn't lucky.
And yet you want to go back. Is there no more sense in the dead, Tom, than in the living?
Maybe not. Maybe there's no sense in either living or dying. But we can't believe that.
You're dead. Your fight's over.
The fight's never over. I got things to say to people now. To people who nurse big machines. The people who swing shovels and the people whose babies die with big bellies and rotten bones. I got things to say to the people who leave their lives behind them and pick up guns to fight in somebody else's wars. Important things, big things. Big enough to lift me out of the grave right back under the earth into the middle of men. Just because I got the voice to say to them, if God could lift Jesus...
Tom, have you lost religion too?
I got a religion. I got a religion that wants to take heaven out of the clouds and plant it right here on the earth, where some of us can get a slice of it. It isn't as pretty as heaven. There aren't any streets of gold and there aren't any angels. And we'd have to worry about sewerage and railroad schedules in it. And we don't guarantee everybody'd be happy in it. But it'd be right here, stuck in the mud of this earth. And there wouldn't be any entrance requirements like dying to get into it. Dead or alive, I see that. And it won't let me rest.
I was the first one to get up in this black grave of ours because that idea wouldn't let me rest. I pulled the others with me. That's my job, pulling the others. They only know what they want. I know how they can get it.
There's still the edge of arrogance on you.
I got heavens in my two hands to give to men. There's reason for arrogance.
I came to ask you to lie down and let them bury you. It seems foolish now, but...
It's foolish, Catherine. I didn't get up from the dead to go back to the dead. I'm going to the living now.
15 years. It's a good thing your mother isn't alive. How can you say goodbye to a dead brother, Tom?
Wish him an easy grave, Catherine.
A green and pleasant grave to you, Tom, when finally, green and pleasant.
Well, say something.
What do you want me to say, Martha?
Something, anything, only talk. You give me the shivers standing there like that, looking like that.
Even now, after this, there's nothing that we can talk to each other about.
Oh, don't talk like that. You talk like that enough when you were alive. Not my fault that you're dead.
All right, Martha. What's the difference now?
Well, I just wanted to let you know. Now I suppose you're going to come back and sit around and ruin my life altogether.
No, I'm not going to come back.
Then what are you...
I couldn't explain it to you, Martha.
No. Oh, no, you couldn't explain it to your wife. But you could explain it to that dirty bunch of loafers down at that old garage of yours. And you could explain it to those bums in the saloon on F Street.
I guess I could. Things seemed to be clearer when I was talking to the boys while I worked over a job. And I managed to talk so people could get to understand what I meant down at the saloon on F Street. It was nice standing there on a Saturday night, the beer in front of you, and a man or two that understood your own language next to you, talking, about Babe Ruth, or the new Orleans system that Ford was putting out, or the chances of us getting into the war.
Yes, you were happy those times, but you weren't happy in your own home. Oh, I know, even if you don't say it. Well, I wasn't happy either. Living in three rotten rooms that the sun didn't hit 5 times a year. Watching the roaches make picnics on the walls. Happy.
I did my best.
$18.50 a week, your best. $18.50. Condensed milk. A $2 pair of shoes once a year. $500 insurance. Chopped meat. Oh, how I hate chopped meat. $18.50. Being afraid of everything. Of the landlord, the gas company. Dead stiff all the time and getting nothing out of life. Why shouldn't I have had a baby? Who says I shouldn't have had a baby? 1850? No baby.
I would have liked a kid.
Would you? You never said anything.
It's good to have a kid. Kid's somebody to talk to.
First, in the beginning, I thought we'd have a kid someday.
A kid would have helped.
Oh, no, it wouldn't. Kids don't help the poor. Nothing helps the poor. Oh, no, I'm too smart to have 6 dirty kids on 1850. Now it's worse. You're $20 a month. You hire yourself out to be killed and I get $20 a month. What's the war to me that I have to sit home alone at night with nobody to talk to? What's the war to you that you had to go off and get
yourself... That's why I'm standing up now, Martha.
Yeah, that's just like you. To wait until it's too late. There's plenty for live men to stand up for. All right, stand up. It's about time you talk back. It's about time all you poor, miserable 1850 guys stood up for themselves and their wives and the kids they can't have. Tell them all to stand up. Tell them! Tell them!
It didn't work. Now you've got to put it in. I knew it would work.
Smear it over the headlines. It didn't work.
Put it in the headlines. They won't be buried.
It didn't work. It didn't work. Hey,
it didn't work. They're still standing. Somebody do something.
Sure, they're standing. From now on, they'll always stand. You can't bury soldiers anymore.
They stink. Bury them.
What'll happen to our war? We can't let anything happen to our war.
The day of judgment is at hand.
File them away in alphabetical order.
Keep it quiet.
My husband, my brother, my baby.
We've got to put them down.
Never, never, never. You can't put them down. Put one down and 10 will spring up like weeds in an old garden.
Use lead on them. Lead put them down once, then it'll do it again. Bury them. Bury the dead.
The dead have arisen. Now let the living rise, singing. Oh.
Do something. Do something.
Extra, they're still standing. Here you are.
Do something.
Well,
this isn't 1918. This is today.
See what happens tomorrow.
Anything can happen now. Anything.
Let me have a machine gun. Sergeant, machine gun. I'll show them. This is what they've needed.
All right, all right. Get it over with. Hurry. But keep it quiet.
I want a crew to man this gun. Now you, come over here. And you know what to do. I'll get the command to fire.
Not to me, you won't. This is over me. I won't touch that gun. None of us will. We didn't hire out to be no butcher of dead men. Do your own chopping.
You'll be court-martialed. You'll be dead by tomorrow morning.
Be careful, General. I may take a notion to come up like these guys. That's the smartest thing I've seen in this whole war, and I like it. What do you say, buddy?
It's about time.
I'll say it is.
What, you insubordinate?
Oh, stop it, stop it. It's bad enough as it is. Let him alone. Do it yourself.
All by myself?
Yes, yes, go ahead. Do it, do it, do it.
All right. As soon as I get this gun to working.
Never, never, never let me see your face, baby. Oh, you remember the glass of beer with a couple of bums on Saturday night?
A green and pleasant grave. Did it hurt much, John?
4 yards of bloody mud.
I fell in the first yard.
Never, never, never.
Tell them all to stand up. Tell them! Tell them!
General, look. They're coming out of the grave. They're coming toward us.
Sink him up there! Fire! Fire, you bloody fool! It's no good.
Just heard the Columbia Workshops production of the famous American war play Bury the Dead by Irwin Shaw. Bury the Dead was adapted for radio and directed by William N. Robeson. Next week, the workshop will present an experiment in native rhythms in its production of Trunga Man Fine Gar, a radio play of British West Africa, written and directed by John Carlyle. In this production, native African drummers will present for the first time a demonstration of their talking drums, the most primitive form of wireless communication. Trunga Man, Fine Gar, which means strong man, fine girl, will be heard next week at this same time, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Saving Time. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.